I saw one interesting snippet, and that was that Beijing, this is from one of the papers last week, this is the business section, Beijing is whispering a push on gold up to $700 an ounce. It says gold has surged to $700 an ounce for the first time in 26 years after Chinese economists suggested that the country should quadruple its bullion reserves to protect itself against the falling dollar. Now that is very significant. It's something that we do need to watch carefully, because without the dollar, if the dollar loses its world-girdling currency status, then America will also lose its world-girdling status as far as the world power is concerned in the same way as well. And that is certainly prophesied to occur, that you know, United States and the UK are going to be brought down. Another one that was in the Telegraph today was that the FTSE index, this is the index over here, has had its worst day, and that was yesterday, for 3 years. It says London's financial markets suffered its worst day of trading in more than 3 years as stock markets across the globe responded to fears that the accelerating inflation will lead to a hike in interest rates. So that again, we were watching the financial situation fairly carefully throughout the world. But there's something else that's going on, which really, when you look at the papers, you can see it, the tip of the iceberg in many respects. And that is a change within the world from something that was held by Britain and America and the English-speaking peoples. And it has switched across from that to a different form of judicial system. Now, we don't necessarily see great headlines on this. But it's interesting, you can see the old judicial system in operation. There's one here, this is from today's paper. It says the judge praises a constable who gave tearaways a clip around the ear. And it says a policeman who gave two teenage tearaways a clip around the ear has had his conviction overturned after a judge decided that he's acted in the best traditions of the police. In other words, he was behaving the way the police have always behaved. In other words, they were able to administer the law. And it was the law. It wasn't some great, powerful state that was over them. It was the law that they were upholding, and it was their job to go ahead and uphold that law. Now, when you see something like that, we need to remember that the laws that we have in this country, in the United States, the foundation of law is coming from this book. It's coming from Scripture. If you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4, we find what God said in Deuteronomy chapter 4 regarding Israel. And it talks about the laws, and it says how they shouldn't add, or that verse 2, you shouldn't add unto the word that I command you, neither diminish anything from it, but you should keep the commandments of the Eternal your God which I command you. In other words, be very careful. The focus was always on the commandments. Your eyes have seen what the Eternal did because of Baal Peor, and you remember that incident where the Midianitish women caused them to sin against God. And it goes into this section, behold, I've taught you your statutes and judgment. I have taught you statutes and judgments, verse 5, even as the Eternal my God commanded me that you should do so in the land where you're going in to possess it. So this is what was going to make the difference. Keep therefore and do them, this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations that shall hear of all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great that has God so near to them as the Eternal your God is all things to call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? The focus was very much on God himself, yes, but it was on these laws. It was on this way. And it's interesting that we in the church have lived through a time and we have witnessed the way of God being put to one side, and at the same time as the way of God has been put to one side, you see the government issue being imposed, and it flies in the face of a scripture such as this very much. And yet you see within the world we're also going to be witnessing something very similar. The laws that were here within this country and the ones that were established, they were for the individual, and the individual had to be keeping the laws. And the law was actually over, and is over, the parliament, it's over the government, and it has precedence in that respect. Whereas when you're looking at some of the other systems, and specifically the system that you find in Europe, it is very different. There is a different system. And it is this confrontation between these two systems that we're likely to see. Now, we've seen it within the church. We've actually witnessed it where the way of God was not the thing that was most important, because that way came through Mr. Armstrong. It came not it wasn't Mr. Armstrong's ideas or words. It was something that came through him, and we recognize the source as being coming from God. And it is that way of life, it is that those laws, and it is God's law, it's God's mindset that is there. And even Queen Victoria, when you look at the situation within a carnal human country, when she was asked the secret of England's greatness, it was indeed this book and the things that were learnt from this book. It is interesting. If you turn over to Psalm 138, this idea, this concept comes out in this psalm. It says, I will praise you with my whole heart, before the gods will I sing praise to you, because this is the God of gods. This is the eternal he's talking about. I'll worship towards your holy temple, and we are to be that holy temple, and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. So even above the government issue, when Mr. Armstrong talked about government, he was talking about the way of God. That's what he was talking about. That's what he meant by the government of God. And yet we have seen that being twisted, being put into a different twist being put onto it. And yet here it shows that even God himself, he magnifies his words, the laws that he's put into effect, even above his name, even above his above his name, his authority. Because the words give that authority. That's where the authority comes from. It says, in the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with the strength of my soul. Notice verse 4. All the kings of the earth will praise you, O eternal, when they hear the words of your mouth. It was the words that were important. It's his lifestyle. It is his way. It says, yes, they will all sing in the ways of the eternal, for great is the glory of the eternal. It's the way of God that is the focus. It's interesting that when the, you put a note, if you like, when you look at the way the apostles were, as far as Christ was concerned, in John 6, where he's talking in verse 68, it says, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And again, they were focused on those words. It was that the words that were so important. Another one, let's turn over to Luke 22. Luke 22. Because when you focus on the cracking the whip issues, then you lose track. It's not cracking the whip because there happens to be a government there. Yes, there is God's government, but it is the way of God that is so crucially important, and that is what we must return to. That's what we must get back on track to. And Luke 22, notice in verse 24, it says, and there was a strife amongst them, who is going to be counted as the greatest, or the greater one? And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. They're the great benefactors. And when we are looking at what we are looking in the news now, there is a shift across from something that focuses on the way of God to something or a certain amount of laws that were originally based on the way of God, across to just pure government. And that is an important point, and we do need to be aware of that as we read the news. And he goes straight into there about how serving is so important, and it talks about how they're going to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones. Yes, there'll be rulership there, but it was the way of God that was so important. Now, what we see within the newspapers, and we can see in a whole raft of articles that have appeared recently, literally in this past week, is that there are certain problems with the legal situation that they find in the country today. And you see something which I am absolutely convinced there is going to be a backlash against, and the backlash that is coming against it is coming from a different mindset. It is not going to come from the legal mindset that we've had within the country up to this point. It's coming from a European mindset and a beast power mindset. And this, again, we've got to be very, very careful as we read the news and watch what's happening. And it's not just here in the UK. It's in America even as well. And it's all the English-speaking countries, all the English-speaking world that gave the world a certain amount of stability. And as God said to Abraham, it says all families of the earth, it says, will be blessed in him over in Genesis 12. And if you want to put in your notes, Genesis 18, verse 18 to 19, where he reiterates that again. And it says, because he kept my way, because he kept the ways of God. And it talks about them. Actually, that scripture I quoted in Genesis 12, verse 3, the indication is not that they will be blessed, but they will bless themselves because of the implementation of the way of Abraham, the way of the laws of God. But here we see these ways being undermined. There was one in the paper here. This is Thursday's. It says, his rights were put before her life. This is on the front page of the Telegraph. A rapist murdered a woman months after being freed, and the parole and probation boards feared legal action. A dangerous criminal was released from a life sentence because his human rights were put before protecting the public, an official inquiry said yesterday. Well, the fact is that certain things that people commit, certain things that people do, they should be executed for, but those things are not being done. Therefore, they are released, and human rights are given free rein. And they're trying to battle against this. Another one here, this is from Thursday again. Hijackers have a right to live in Britain. The MPs are dismayed by human rights ruling in favour of the Afghani gang who is responsible of a standoff at Stansted. These people from Afghanistan hijacked a plane, flew into Stansted, and then claimed political asylum, even though the British forces at that time were actually fighting in Afghanistan against the Taliban, and yet they said that they wanted their human rights. And it says here, it's all too easy to blame the Human Rights Act for yesterday's decision in favour of the Afghan asylum seekers who had hijacked an aircraft in Britain 6 years ago. True, the nine persuaded an immigration adjudication panel on July the 2004 that it would contravene Article 3 of the Human Rights Convention that bans torture and inhuman degrading treatment or punishment, but this and all the other provisions of the convention were binding on the government long before the Human Rights Act took effect. But there is this direction, and there's this great debate, again, that's going on. Another one, and this is from today's paper. Volunteer PC pays with her life for fight against crime. This lady, it says, a woman who volunteered to help the police fight crime in her neighbourhood was murdered on her doorstep by a suspected burglar. And this individual went out to investigate, and she was knifed. And that happened, I believe, just yesterday. Another one, my year with the animal rights extremists. This week, four activists were jailed for a string of offences, including grave robbery, because we had animal rights and people trying to pursue an animal rights campaign that actually dug up the mother of this family who was breeding guinea pigs and hid her body somewhere. I mean, bizarre or what? And again, the public generally want to have this kind of foolishness taken care of, and there is a certain backlash against it. Another one, this is from Tuesday. Why isn't Daddy coming home? A widow of a man killed while trying to protect his family hits out at sentences that are handed out to attackers. And we see, really, justice is lying in the streets. It's not the way it ought to be. And so what we are about to witness, I feel absolutely certain, and something that we need to be well aware of, is that there is going to be a backlash against this. There's going to be a demand for people to come to be called to account for their actions. But what will actually occur, what is actually occurring at the moment, is that the British common law rights, and also the same common law rights that are based on this word of God, that went across to America, the ones that went down to Australia and the other areas that were actually overseen by the English-speaking peoples, these are going to change. If you notice over in Revelation 13, turn over to Revelation 13. In Revelation 13, verse 4, it says, and they worshipped the dragon, that's Satan, which gave power to the beast, And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? So the power for this beast power is coming from Satan. That is where the mindset is going to be coming from. Over in verse 12, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and he called the earth and them that worship therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This is the Holy Roman Empire now, worshipping this, again, it is a power issue. Verse 14, he deceived those that dwelt on the earth by the means of the miracles that he had power to do in the sight of the beast, coming from Satan. And verse 15, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast. So this is a power issue. It wasn't just, it's not a law, it's not a word of God, it is a power issue that is being looked at. And when you're looking over in Revelation 17, what will actually happen, according to what it says in Revelation 17, in verse 12, is that the power is given to this beast power. And it says, and the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. Now we do not know who these ten kings are. They're probably 10 groupings or 10 individuals within Europe. But exactly who and what they are, we're not sure. But it says, but they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. In other words, right at the very end time, that is what will happen. There'll be a grouping of 10 kings, groupings, nations, whatever it is, within Europe. And they will, as it says here, it says they have one mind. And they will give their power and their strength to the beast. That's where the power will come from. It'll come from Satan, and it will be actually put into the hands then of this individual who will oversee them. Now, what is happening currently, and what we need to be aware of, is that there is a change taking place within the legal system. And this change we need to keep a very close eye on. And it is a change from what is the tradition of the English-speaking peoples, based on this word, into a Roman Catholic, Holy Roman Empire-based system, based judicial system. And it's there's an article here that is actually written, who was this written by? It was written by Christopher Mowbray, and he's part of a group which is wanting to take Britain out of the EU and completely make it an independent state again. But he starts to point out in this article that he's written, and you can find it on the internet, just look up Christopher Mowbray, Mowbray, and he's talking about corpus juris, and he says that how does our law differ from that of continental Europe? Our common law, as far back as 1215 with Magna Carta, and that was the beginning of our common law, was where the king met, if you go to the Heathrow Airport, where it is today, these are the fields of Runnymede, and that area was where the Magna Carta was signed, and where the nobles got together with the king and said, look, you cannot have absolute control over us. And therefore, the nobles and the king are subject to law. And this was the beginning of the system that we finally have within the English-speaking peoples today. And it states that a citizen can only be judged by his peers. These rights protect the individual against arbitrary conviction and imprisonment, and our common law recognizes several vital rights of the citizen. And these are the rights that are kind of honed down. First is the right of habeas corpus. That is that the accused must be taken to a public court within a very short period of time, usually 24 hours, and the accusers must produce their evidence then and there. In other words, if you're going to go ahead and prosecute somebody, that he's got to be in a court, and the accusers have got to present their evidence, and then a decision is to be made whether in fact to proceed with the prosecution. Secondly, the right of trial by jury, in which jurors can in fact even disregard the law if they think it would give an unjust conviction. The jurors are thus sovereign. It's the same kind of principle where you see a policeman that goes along, sees some children kicking in somebody's fence, and tells them off and pushes them away. And he's not done it for assault. That is the kind of thing he's being talked about. It says, if found innocent, the accused cannot be tried by the same charge. That is double jeopardy. That's the third area. So what the process is, basically, is first of all, it's suspicion, secondly, investigation, thirdly, arrest, and fourthly, charge. So those are the order. Now, if we contrast that with the continental system, known as the inquisitorial system, and it's where the Spanish Inquisition and all the rest of the Inquisitions came from, it's often loosely referred to as the Napoleonic system. There are quite different systems. Things are quite different. In Europe, the sequence of events is first suspicion, same as British, first of all suspicion, but then arrest. You don't have to prove anything. In the British system, it's investigation, then arrest. In the European system, it's suspicion, then arrest. Then it's investigation, then it's charge. In other words, a citizen can be arrested and imprisoned without anybody having to produce any evidence against him at all. There's therefore no habeas corpus, so no one can be imprisoned for very long. So one can be imprisoned for very long periods, weeks, months, occasionally years, without any evidence being produced against you. There's no right by trial by jury, as their system involves judgments being made by a career judiciary who are the judges and the prosecutors, and who are, to all intents and purposes, colleagues. A quite separate body of lawyers makes the defence, and they're often treated as inferiors. It's a totally different system. Thirdly, and the other point is that in most instances, the accused can be tried a second time for the same offence because the prosecution has the right to appeal against acquittal. Now, what that basically means is that somebody... let's see if I can find the quote I've got here somewhere. The state, basically, is the sovereign. The state becomes the be-all and end-all. It's not the individual. It is the state and the organization that is there. And we can see this reflected within the European theater as well. In another article here that I was reading, it says that the 1999 treaty signed in Amsterdam, the Consolidated Treaty, Article 12 of Chapter 5, Protocol on the Privileges and the Immunities of the EU, provides for a blanket lifetime immunity for all officials and servants of its institutions from legal proceedings, in respect of acts performed by them in their official capacity, including their words, spoken or written. They shall continue to enjoy this immunity after they've ceased to hold public office. Significantly, this includes Europol, the new Federation European Police Force, and when the EU commissioners were sacked en masse a few years ago for corruption, none was tried for their offence. Now, that wouldn't happen over here. You get somebody who's corrupt in government, and they are subject to law. Why? Because this is your wisdom. And it is on this wisdom that the British and the American and the English-speaking peoples had a certain rise to the prominence. But they're getting rid of that now. And what we are going to is this beast power form of judicial system. And we need to recognize that. You see it within articles. You see it in an article. Here's one from Thursday's paper. It says, Sir Alan Moses tells Joshua Rosenberg why the new dual roles for judges could undermine their authority. And he goes into the fact, he says, Sir Alan's great concern, however, is that the public will not understand when senior judges are talking on behalf of their colleagues as administrators and when they're speaking as judges. Remember what we said about their colleagues? All these judges are all one. They're both judge and jury. They're judge and jury. And you never know how is somebody speaking. And he was talking about the importance of what he terms a mask. In other words, that here is a mask that sits in front of a judge, and the judge is therefore totally impartial. And has got to be, because why? He's subject to the law. And the law takes precedent. Putting my word above my name. And that principle is coming from the word of God. So we do need to watch what is going on within the news. And in this area that we have problems within a society that's falling apart, but the answer is coming from a different type of legal system. And we do need to be aware of that, and we need to keep a very close eye on what's going on as part of the prophetic situation that we understand is going to take place.